a phenomenal piece in the Sefer HaChinuch itself, before we get to the pilpul of the Minchas Chinuch, a phenomenal piece in the Sefer HaChinuch. One thing he's extremely focused on is defining concepts which are elusive. And he says that he wrote the Sefer for his son. As a young man, that he should understand the basic concepts of Yahadus. And as such, he brings things very, very down to earth. It was a Rishon, he could have been highfalutin and soared in the stratosphere. But he's, as he himself says, I'm looking to give very down to earth approaches. And he locks in the piece we're going to see, about the very notion of a bracha. What is a bracha? Bracha is a very difficult concept. The term is a very difficult term to translate, to explain. And what's the point of the bracha? What goal? So here is particularly the place that he can talk about it, because Birchas HaMazon, as we'll see, is the one bracha which is universally agreed is Min HaTorah. At the end of this piece, for want of any other place to put it in, he goes into a short discussion of Birchas HaTorah, because that's the way we seem to hold our halacha, that's the Raisa, but he brings Rishonim, let's say it's the Rabbanon. So there's no other place to put it. So this is the bracha, the one bracha which is clearly the Raisa is Birchas HaMazon. Mitzvah Tov Lamed, Mitzvah Birchas HaMazon. Well, the first section, it will just describe what the basic mitzvah is, without its details. The second part, Mishroshi HaMitzvah, he goes into a whole study of what brachas is and what the word bracha means. Starts Levorech es Hashem Yisborach Acha Shayochel Odom V'Yispa. The mitzvah is that a person should be Mevorach Hashem, break a bracha to Hashem, or translate it simply right now, Acha Yishayochel Odom V'Yispa, after a person eats and is satiated. Milecha, whether he's satiated from bread, or Mishiva Saminim. So he has a very interesting shita. He's not the only one that has the shita, but he has a very interesting shita, which is that if you eat and you have from Shiva Saminim, so then the halacha is that one has to recite the Birchas HaMazon. And he's going to go into this later. On all the Shiva Saminim. And he brings even the ones that disagree. It's rather surprising. For most of us, it's going to be surprising what their view is. Quite different than most of us are used to thinking. Unless you're a Bokki in Simen Reish Ches in the Shulchan Aruch, you have no intimation even of what the possibilities are. The Lechem's Haniskorim because of Kishu Zonmehem, when a person eats or is from them, or makes a meal from them. The lechem stam, when we use the word lechem in the Torah, that's nikra pas. That's what we call pas, osu mechito sa'ira, which is made from either wheat or barley. Or v'chalachita akusemes, spelt is considered a subcategory of wheat. V'chalasa'ira, and included in the barley, is shibela shu'al v'shifon. Shifon is rye, and Shibbola Shul is oats. Okay? And the association of oats with all of this is an old problem, but that's not our question to go into that now. Because oats is an entirely different type of bria than any of the other species of grain. Now, where does this come from? Bal klal shivas haminim hazonim, and from the seven species which people eat from, Neamar, V'yachaltu b'savotu v'rachtas Hashem alokechol oratz atoy b'shanosam loch. The psukim right before that talk about the Shiva Saminim. B'zois ha-sviya in lo shir shofo v'chalodom. When we talk about sviya, so it's relative. Different people have different appetites. And there are people that eat a drop, and they can't eat for 3 days. there are other people that it's hard to have to get them satiated. But each person knows when he's satisfied. So we, each of us knows what the derice is. If we look, for example, at tzaddikim, what is their shir sphere? To eat, to satiate, nafsha is their nefesh, apparently. Eretz Eloima, what do I mean by that? They eat just enough to be able to sustain themselves to live. They have no other interest in eating in this world. The Vilna Gaon, throughout the entire week, his sons write this in the Shulchan Aruch. We have no first-hand information. He ate 2 kzesim of bread twice a day. But that's all he ate during the weekdays. And the Gaon was a very, very powerful, physically powerful person. He lived till, I think, the age of 77, which was quite a lengthy life, in those days especially. And he did not sleep more than 2 hours a day. And that was divided in 4 parts of each less than a half an hour. And that's the way he lived his life. So that's Tzadik Oichel Seiva Nafsha. How do we know that when I tell you the bracha only is when the sphere? How do we know I'm correct? It's interesting. He does not cite the pasuk, because to prove halachic parameters from a pasuk is a minefield. I mean, what exactly a pasuk means and how to interpret a pasuk is a very, very difficult task. And to establish a halacha from a pasuk is pretty daunting. Yeah, it's a machlok. And he has even a surprising twist we'll see later on this, on what it means. Masha'omru zechon el v'rocha perek misham meso b'brochus, in the 3rd perek in brochus, dorash rabaviru. At Omar, the Gemara says, the question is, should he be, the Rav Hashem should he be nice upon him? Should he be unusually kind to Klal Yisrael? So the Gemara says, Omar lehem lo es upon him liyisrael, is it conceivable that I won't be unusually kind? I've written in my Torah, and I will come back to this, what this pasuk means. When I get to the dinner, the basic idea. There's an idea of Birchas Hamazon. And I will tell you what the Rishonim debate. Now, Mishroshei HaMitzvah, before I get to describe the mitzvah of Birchas HaMazon, it's Hagdom, I have to give you a preface, an introduction. Although we got to Lecho B'ni, I told you, the Sefer was written for his own son. Mamesh HaKodam, Ki L'Hashem Baruch Hu, Kol HaKovod V'Ahayid V'Chol HaTayim. But he wants to struggle with, we need a Baruch Hu. Why? I don't have everything. So I want a brocha. In the schus of that brocha, that I should get what I don't have presently. My unfulfilled desires, whatever they may be. So you can get Birchas Kayanim as a brocha. The Rosh Hashanah promises to give us a brocha. Get a brocha from a tzaddik. Tzaddik goyiz al HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekayim. Different ways to get a brocha. But I need a brocha because of something that's unfulfilled. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam, Cholila to describe the Rebbeinu Shel Olam in that way. It is heretical to describe the Rebbeinu Shel Olam in any term that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam needs something or is lacking something. So, for the one that literally has everything, so what shayach habrocha? So this is what he has to explain. So the Rebbeinu Shel Olam ultimately is the one that possesses everything. Honor, greatness, goodness, v'chol ha-chochma, all the wisdom of the world, v'chol ha-yecheles, all abilities, v'chol ha-brocha, and all brocha. In other words, he has everything that shayach to have. V'divrei ben odom v'chol ma'asayu, and beyond that, whatever we mortal human beings will do, in Toivim Ra, whether it's good or it's bad, Lo Yosef Lo Yigra. Whether we listen to the Rabbanu Shel Olam or not, the Rabbanu Shel Olam is totally unchanged by it. We have no effect on the Rabbanu Shel Olam whatsoever. Alkin Tzoruch Atul Havchin. So you have to understand and comprehend. Ki Ba'amreinu Tomid Rebrochos Baruch Ato Hashem. When we say Baruch Ato Hashem, what are we saying? Oh, he is Baruch. Yisborach is going to struggle with even more than Baruch, you'll see in a moment. Yisborach he finds even is much more difficult to explain than Baruch. Because Baruch is subject to two meanings. Baruch, meaning in one sense, could mean you should be blessed, and Baruch could mean you are blessed. But Yisborach is not subject to those two interpretations. So he's going to struggle even more with Yisborach than with Baruch. It's not to add bracha. We should not imagine it means to add bracha. The Baruch Hashem doesn't need anything, so bracha is not to give him what he doesn't have. He was Adon Al Hakol, is the ultimate master. Every bracha that we have, what's the source of that bracha? It stems from the Rabbeinu Shel Olam himself. And he produces them yesh me'ayin. So, certainly, what bracha could we give him? U'mashpia mehen shefa rav. And he gives us great blessing, a great positive influence, b'asher tiyashom ritzayna yatav, in the time and place that it's consistent with his will. Alkein tzricham ono l'chapis kabonas inyin ma. What do we mean by a bracha? No notes manenu b'masha esek b'esek b'tomet b'liyavon b'klal, and we should not allow ourselves life to pass by in something that we're involved in constantly b'liyavon b'klal with no understanding of what it is. A brocha, what is more ubiquitous in Jewish life than a brocha? Is there any mitzvah that's more ubiquitous than a brocha? So 100 times a day or more we make a brocha, baruch atah. So he says, should we let our life pass with no comprehension of what a bracha is, what we're saying? V'ani am oirer, I, the one that's raising this issue, ein machshavti sheyasik sichli afilu ketipa manayam. I do not seek to intellectually understand even one tiny drop, v'amitos inyan, in ultimately what this is about. Yeah, but bracha is even greater than that, because it's not only the normal process of a mitzvah, but the very term itself seems to in fact contradict the notion. That's why it's important to reiterate there. Right? You can say right on all the mitzvahs that we don't do the mitzvahs for other Rabbeinu Shel Olam. They're somehow this for ourselves ultimately. Right? Or whatever, right? But what then, what do we do with a bracha? A bracha is even a step beyond all of that. Because the bracha almost seems directly to address the fact that I'm giving a bracha to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. He says, why do I not even attempt to begin to explain what a bracha actually is? Ki kvar hu gadle, he was a rishon, an adversary. He says, it's been related to me, v'shamatim pi chachamim, and I've heard from great talmidei chachamim. Ki yesh bedvorim eile yisoides chazokim, there are very strong fundamentals in this, besides Niflon, in tremendous mystical secrets. In other words, he's informing us that the world of Kabbalah has a great deal to write about what a bracha is. And that's not the intention of this sefer to discuss mysticism. So he says, since I know from my rebbeim before me that there are tremendous fundamental aspects in Yadus, and mystical notions associated with the bracha, I'm not even attempting to go into that area. Yodiyum chachomei atorah l'talmideyim, the chachmei atorah needs to teach them to their talmidim, k'shehem nivonim, when they feel that they are wise enough, k'sherim, and they have reached appropriate level of spirituality, v'chol maseyim noam, and all their actions are appropriate.
In other words, then they don't speak to them, oh, Sisrei Torah. Aber Rav Chefzi, my predominant desire in this Sefer, the Hasi B'zeh Tzastam, is to find some insight and understanding that relates to us. Rav Yeruchim of the Mir, Rav Yeruchim Levovitz, the Mashkiach of the Mir, said we refer to explanation of mitzvahs as Tamei HaMitzvahs. Tam means it's not the reason. Tam is the flavor, what we extract from the mitzvah. What do we draw from the mitzvah and its impact upon us that we're margish? Everything that's a mitzvah, we understand the whole bria and how a mitzvah interplays with the bria. We have no idea. And the kedusha of the mitzvah and how it affects all the world around us. So we can't talk about the reason for a mitzvah. Do we understand exactly the dynamics of the universe and how the Rabbeinu Shalom set it up and how Kedusha Satara affects it? Those are things that we have no insight into whatsoever. These are the deepest aspects of Kabbalah to understand that. But it's Tamei HaMitzvahs, the flavor, the taste, the impact that it has upon me. That's why we call it Tamei HaMitzvahs. I want to extract a little bit of Tam from this. And this is what my desire pushes me to get involved in an explanation of this. Perhaps I would have been better off being silent. Causes one sometimes to violate the rules of rationality. And meaning here, he's writing for his son. And he's written elsewhere in the Sefer, very interestingly, that he feels that if he does not give him a comprehensive view of Tamei HaMitzvahs, that his son may reject the Torah and go off to Derech. So therefore, that's what propels him. And he feels compelled because of the alma, the love that he has for his child, to find a reason. So even though in a purely rational, intellectual sense, since he understands that this is a great mystical concept of bracha, that maybe he should withdraw and drop the matter. But he has a necessity, perforce, he must find something that relates to us at our level. So now he goes into explain what the basic notion of a bracha is. It's a phenomenal, phenomenal piece. I have yet to see, I mean, I've seen Rishonim that make discussions in Rishonim and Achronim of this notion, but such a clear and compelling presentation that I found here in the Sefer HaFchinuch, I have not seen yet. Yaduwa hadavar mefursam, it is known and self-evident to everyone, on the bottom of the last paragraph on the page. Ki Hashem Baruch Hu Poyel Kol HaNimtza. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam is the one that brings forth everything that takes place or exists in the world. Uvara ha'adam, from creating the human being, b'shlita ala aretz, and putting man, giving man mastery of the world, while kol asher bo, and everything that's in it, b'chavshua. U'midoiso baruchu shehu rav chesed. We can describe the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, what do we say in Anim Zmiras and Shabbos? Adam cho achan cho v'lo yidatich. We can give him shalom. We can describe the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's actions. But we cannot describe the essence of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. So Adam Chachamcha, we can talk about the Rabbeinu Shel Olam without ever knowing his essence. We don't know what he is. We can describe him in terms of his impact, what he's involved in this world that we perceive. And one of the things is the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is Rav Chesed. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam is the ultimate Baal Chesed. Who chofet b'toivas b'yosef. And consequently, the divine will is to bring good to the people of this world. But there are laws in how the universe works. And in the laws of the universe, we have the merit that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam should bestow his bracha upon us. If we don't merit it, there's no way that we can get it. Sometimes you want to help your son, but you want him to be a mensch. And you know, if you're going to help him at this point, in our terms, it's going to destroy him. I'm not going to help him. So it breaks my heart that I can't help him presently, but I can't help him. I want to be royal, worthy of it, then I can help him. L'havdil elef avdolos, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam wants to help us. But if we're unworthy of it, he can't. We have to put ourselves in a position of being worthy. This stems from the completeness, the greatness of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Lo yikru sholim b'toiva, a person to describe someone as being ultimately good. That he's constantly involved in doing good for others. That's a good person. A person that's good. He doesn't harm the world, but he doesn't do good for others. That's not the ultimate level of a good person. Baruch Hashem, he doesn't hurt the world. But that's not what a good person is. A good person is meitiv l'acherim. To describe the Rebbeinu Shel Olam as the ultimate toiv means that that toiv is reflected in the world around him. Ein sofik b'zeh l'chol ben das. Any person of intelligence understands this. Once we understand that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam's deepest, I shouldn't say desire, one of the midas of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, which expresses the toiv of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, is to bring good to us. We understand from the greatness of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam wishes to bestow abundant bracha upon us. From that we can explain nemar she'inyan bracha. We can now explain what a bracha is. Shana oimel lefonov ainu rak haskara. It is a reminder. That we should remind ourselves by our verbal expression. It's not for the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. The bracha is for us. We should remind ourselves. And concrete action is the best reminder. We verbalize it. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam is ultimately the one that's blessed. Meaning, the one that is blessed. That's by nature he's blessed, not because we blessed him. That's the nature of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, is yichlo kol ha-toyves. He contains within him all the good in the world. And because we recognize that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is the source of this goodness, the yichod machshavteinu, and focusing upon the fact of our thoughts, l'hoydes elov, to praise the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, to thank him, shekol ha-toyves klulos bo, to express our appreciation of the fact that all the toiv in the world comes from the Rebbeinu Shel Olam himself. That is the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, klulos bo. V'hu melech aleya, and he's the sole one that's in charge of them. L'shalcham al kol asher yachpitz, to send them wherever he desires. There's only one address in the world, and that address contains everything. Imagine you only needed one website. Right? For all your corporate business, you just have to punch into one website. Everything is there. They've harnessed all the ability for everything in the world to the max. Every product in the world, every service in the world. One website, you just punch in and it's all there. No search engines necessary. Right to the point. Now, if we understand that, and comprehend that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, that's the ultimate website. Through that mitzvah of coming to the recognition, reinforcing the recognition that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is the source of everything in the world, so through that we merit that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam should extend his bracha to us. And if you look at the bottom, Eis Dalet is very fascinating. Loshen Brocha, all the way on the bottom of the page, in the Loshen Brocha, Pirshuvo Akadmainim Shnei Perushim. There are two meanings in the Rishonim. Rabbeinu Mefarish, who Shevach Utehilo, as we give praise to the Rabbeinu Shalom. Shehu Yisborach, what's the praise? The praise is Shehu Yisborach Mikar HaBrochas, that he is the source of all Brocha. Rechein Kosov Avudraham, the Avudraham also wrote this. Uborach in a Loshen Po. It's not that the Rabbanu Shalom has received an action. If we say, I am Baruch, right, that means somebody gave me a bracha. People gave me a bracha. But I'm the recipient of a bracha. That's what it means that I am Baruch. We're not saying that the Rabbanu Shalom is the recipient of a bracha, or the recipient of our bracha, are affected in any way by our bracha. And the Kamar Rachum V'Chanan, the same formulation as Rachum. What does the Rabbanu Shalom mean? The Rabbanu Shalom is Kel Rachum. Means he's inherently compassionate. That's what Rachum means in Chanan. Baruch is in the same format. The Rabbanu Shalom is inherently blessed. Meaning, Shehura B'Kaira Brochas. He is the source of all Brocha. Meina M'Kablo M'Yachir. We'll come. HaKadosh Baruch Hu means in the same sense. That's fine. He is inherently blessed, meaning he is the source of all goodness in the world. That's what it means. So Baruch is not Baruch. When I say Baruch Ato, in effect I'm saying you should be blessed. That's the way you're referring to another person. Or you are blessed. The Rebbeinu Shalom, we're not saying you are blessed. We say you are blessed in the sense that we refer in the human realm means that somebody's bestowed something upon you. The Rabbanu Shalom means Baruch Atah, means he's inherently a Baruch. He's the source of all goodness in the world. So it is a state of being. Baruch Atah Hashem. This is, it happens, it's a very interesting question. Sam is referring to the Gemara and Brachos of Zion, I think it is, where Yochanan Kohen Gadol, Rabbi Yishmael Kohen Gadol, right, comes and he says, Yishmael b'ni Borcheini, right? One of the singers made it famous, you know. So, the Chai Adam, in fact, wants to opt for the meaning that Baruch and a Brocha somehow means the regular format of what Baruch means, which is a very difficult notion, but the Chai Adam, in fact, cites this Chazal. But this Chazal is inherently a mystical Chazal. The whole subject matter of the Chazal. And the truth is, the way he explains it, and I think in light of the Sefer HaChinuch, we could understand that too. When he says, Yishmael b'ni Borcheini, you'll see in a moment how he translates his Baruch. And when he's finished translating his Baruch, I think that would adequately explain that Gemara. So that's the question. He says, what is Rabbi Yishmael Kohen Gadol to? He wrote that the Midas HaRachamim should be the predominant Midah, and it should affect your relationship with your children. That's the Gemara, which is as it is. The Gemara in Brochus has many, many Gemaras which are Sisraiter, which are Saitas, which are Kabbalah. We have no understanding and insight into many of the things in the Gemara. We struggle to even to give some of the Gemaras in Brochus some element of Pshat that we can relate to. But they're clearly Kabbalah Dikinyanam. And the Gemara says the Rabbeinu Shalom was Pala, the Rabbeinu Shalom puts on filling every day. I mean, these are not notions that we can begin to relate to even. So the Rishonim, the Kadmonim look for ways to bring these ideas that there's a certain Pshat aspect that has meaning to us too. But ultimately, these are Sisraiter. They're not talking in the realm, from the types of definitions that we understand. But that Gemara, I think, according to the way the Sefer HaChinuch will explain this Baruch, will fit in fact. So the notion is that he ends, let's go a little bit further on the bottom from the Avud Raham. Then what's the point of the brachas? All together, what are we making the brachas for? There are purpose in making the brachas that we should merit bracha. Whoever gives a bracha will become blessed. Now let's follow through in the chinuch himself. So what we're stating is that Ruah Melech Aleim L'Shalchom Al Kol Asher Yachpeitz Onu Zoichim B'Masa Torah Zeh L'Hamshuch Aleinu B'Vachosav. Through this mitzvah of recognizing that the Rabbeinu Shalom is the source of all bracha, so we become roy to receive bracha from the Rabbeinu Shalom. The Chayvus HaLevavos really states this as a pasuk. It's a pasuk that we recite at the very end of Birchas HaMazon. Baruch HaGever Asher Yiftach B'Hashem V'Hoy Hashem Yiftachah. commensurate with the level that we understand, Baruch HaGever Asher Yiftach Bashem, that we understand that everything comes from the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, Boya Hashem Yiftach, to that extent, commensurate exactly with that, does the Rabbeinu Shel Olam give us his blessing. And that's the very notion he's telling us here. As we increase our insight and understanding but that it, of the fact that the Rabbeinu Shalom is the source of all goodness in the world, we merit in that schus the Rabbeinu Shalom's goodness. And that's why we make a bracha. Once we note this fact and appreciate the Rabbeinu Shalom in this regard, then we first ask the Rabbeinu Shalom for what we need. Because this is the schus by which the Rabbeinu Shalom will give it to us. Whether it's das, right, atachinu lodom das, or slicha lavan oseinu, or refuah, or yosher baruch aleinu v'chol davar, all the brachas that we have in Shemoneh Esrei each day.
Shouldn't we then say the bracha before the request?
We usually do.
No, but in Shemoneh
Esrei. Oh, so he will explain afterwards. It's not, because there is a notion of bracha smucha l'chavrta. And that one bracha follows upon the heels of the bracha before. Now there are two perushim in the Rishonim. He for it. Either way, it's tied to a bracha before. The Rashbam's interpretation is that a bracha smucha l'chavrta is, for example, that the first bracha in Shemoneh Esrei starts bracha to Hashem Elokeinu v'Elokeinu v'Seinu. The first bracha in Birchas Kriya Shema starts Elokeinu Melech Olam, by nighttime also. So those are brachas that are in a sequence. From his interpretation, that first bracha to Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam is the beginning of every bracha which is to follow. It's sort of like you did it on a computer with bullets under it. The heading is bracha to Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, and then you have all your bullets lined up. That's the Rashbam's interpretation. There are other Rishonim, and the Sefer HaChinuch is among them, that says that they don't learn that pshat. They learn that the bracha to Hashem at the end of the previous bracha, that is the bracha for the next bracha. In other words, once I said, for example, Baruch Ata Hashem, Chaynin Ados, I just said Baruch Ata Hashem. So there's no need 1 second later when I finish this, I'm starting a bracha which is in sequence, Hashiveinu Avinu L'Sarasecha. I just said Baruch Ata Hashem, so I just recognized it 1 second ago. So there's no need from there in a sequence of brachas to start again. That's his interpretation. What? Gemalchus Old. That's a question we need. Malchus is not a deraisa dikadin. That's probably the advantage of the Rashbam's pshat, that the Rashbam says it's referring back to the initial Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, and that's enough for us now. When we learn Arvei Pesachim, we'll have already to explore that machloikus of what the other Rishonim have, why they disagree with the Rashbam, or where's Melech and HaOlam that you have to have in a bracha. Okay. That's a different problem. But as I say, that's not our notion today to go to explore that sugya. But that's why every bracha has it, and he makes a point bedafka that when we're asking something of the Rebbeinu Shalom, the bracha to Hashem has to be front loaded. He's going to make this point later. He's going to go analyze the different formats of brachas, and this is a major point that he makes, that a bracha must have, when I'm asking something of the Rebbeinu Shalom, have the bracha to Hashem up front. It's to be at the beginning.
That's what I meant. So you should start off with bracha to Hashem. So
he says you did have that, the Baruch Ata Hashem from the previous bracha. What? That doesn't make a difference, but I just recognize that what's the source of every bracha is the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. So there's no need for repetition at that point. And then he says, finally, after we ask what we want of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, we go back and we praise the Rabbeinu Shel Olam again. That it will come from the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. So this is the notion, he says, of a bracha which has a psicha and a chasima. So one is the recognition before, and then the closure of the bracha is to say that it will come from the Rabbeinu Shel Olam himself. That's the source. This is the notion of the beginnings and ends of brachas. Why do we need a chasima? Because otherwise, we're like the guy that needs a favor. And he comes and he pesters you, so you finally give him the favor. And that's, when do you see him next?
the next time he needs a favor. Till then, you don't hear from him. He doesn't pick up the phone. He doesn't thank you. He doesn't say good morning. You don't see him. You don't hear from him. And dropped off the end of the earth. All of a sudden, he needs a new favor. You know, when the phone, he picks up the phone. You know, if he's on the line, there's a problem. He needs something. Otherwise, why is he calling you? So we don't want to be like that before the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. So after we ask the Rabbeinu Shel Olam what we want, we give recognition to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam that we still realize the fact that it comes from him. Shenota prasmer abu v'hoylich lo below rishuskim is got him, and you sneak out without thanking the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, without being courteous before you leave. Just you run away. You got what you wanted. You flack out. Baruch is not a brocha. For me, it's a brocha. Baruch means I should be blessed. Right? So in effect, it's a verb. But the Rabbeinu Shalom is an adjective. It's a description. Shiyia baruch toya. That baruch is a Torah, a description. Kloimer hodoi lo. It's an acknowledgement. You kailo kol brochas. He is the source of all brocha. Now, uveloshni is borach shonu maskirim tomachu mehispael. Now, here's where he's particularly troubled. Borach, we can say, is an adjective. But the word yisborach can't be translated as an adjective. Borach, yisborach is a reflexive word, meaning it has to go back on the Rabbeinu. Yisborach, yishtabach. He shall be blessed. He shall be blessed. So how do we say he shall be blessed? We can't baruch. He explained. Yeah, but right. So let's see how he explains. His baruch is typically. We'll see how he explains it. But this is what troubles him more. Baruch, he says, is an adjective that doesn't bother. Nemar shakavonobo. That what do we say when we say his baruch? We appeal to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Shirotzen milfonov. Now you notice, this is the Loshon of Rabbi Yishmael Kohen Gadol. Shirotzen milfonov. The Saviv Leiv Briyosov. That he should cause the hearts of his subjects, Liyos Nocho in Lefonov, should be appropriate. Sheyodu Akol Eilov. That we should acknowledge that everything is from him, Uvo Yishalolu. And it is him, in fact, through the Rabbeinu Shel Olam that we praise, or we are praised. What does it mean? It should be your will that all in the world should attribute bracha to you, and they admit that everything in the world extends forth from the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. And when the world will recognize it, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's bracha will descend upon the world. The Yushlam Chetza, when this will complete the desire of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, Shuchofetz Lahitiv, Kamo Yishlam Arnu, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam wishes to bestow good. So Yisborach means that we should collectively recognize, or the Rabbeinu Shel Olam should bring about those circumstances in the world, that mankind will recognize that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is the Borach. That's what Yisborach means. Yisborach means he should bring about those circumstances that we human beings will recognize that he is Borach. I'm not giving a bracha, but, and that from that sense, perhaps, that's also maybe what the Gemara meant when he said borcheini. What's the borcheini? He wrote that we should merit that through our actions, the midas harachamim, in effect, should be the foremost midah of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, because that's the ultimate desire of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, is to be made. So perhaps his explanation will even explain the Gemara. That the borcheini is, in a sense, what bracha? In the same way that we say yisborach. Meaning that we should be worthy through our actions and through our recognition that, or in that Gemara, in fact, through the mitzvahs that we do, to be zoicha, to the midas harachamim, that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam should, in accordance with his will, be able to bestow the midas harachamim upon us. So I believe from his explanation that, in fact, we could accommodate the Gemara by Rabbi Yishmael Kohen Gadol. It's a phenomenal, phenomenal insight into brachos. And therefore, the hative kumosher, another, the tishlo machayv, it's tachmas kalamavukash, and to complete everything that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam desires in this world. The name of tzonuk tzastam of beloshin yisborach hamasmiya. Even this mode, the strangest of lashonas of yisborach, this astonishing loshin, we've gained some insight into it. Umin asherash azeh, ushemasha omru zechoinu levrocha, in re. Accordance with this line of reasoning is that which the Gemara says in chulen, shachodesh baruch hu mis'ave letviloshen shal tzadikim. The Rebbe longs for the tefillah of tzadikim. The Rebbe is missing something. A father longs that a son should write him a letter. Right? If my son's away in yeshiva, I want him to call me up on the phone. I want to hear from my son. It's a normal paternal feeling. The Rebbe doesn't have feelings and desires in the sense that we can, in anything which is it's human. It's of a different realm. So what do you say the Rebbe is mis'av? The Rebbe wants, he longs. So he explains, this is what it means. What is the Rebbe? The Rebbe wants to be mative. That is the nature of the Rebbe to be mative. He's a mative. What he wants in this world is that we should do those actions, sheyisku balafonov, that we should become meritorious before him, and therefore he will extend his goodness to us. He chovitz chesed, the Rebbe Shalom desires to do chesed in the world. So that's misavol etfilos and shol tzadikah. He doesn't need atfilos. It's not, well, my son called me, I feel better, I heard from my son, I long for him. Nothing to do with that. It's the Rebbe Shalom wishes to be mative. That's the ava that the Rebbe Shalom has for the Brias. And he wants, the rotzen of the Rebbe Shalom is that we should be worthy of that hatovah. But law says, aleihem b'chosso, to extend this bracha to us, merov shlemuso, stemming from the shlemus of the Rebbe Shalom Moshe Kosavda. V'zehu asherish agodol l'chol asher yasa odom toiv b'olam hazeh. This is ultimately the root, as Chaim pointed out before, of all mitzvahs, of everything good that we'll do that we do in this world. Eov said it, right? That if we do mitzvah, what did we do for them? What can we possibly do for the Rebbeinu Shalom? What do we give for him? But rather, she says, Schoro me'eis Hashem, our reward is shemashlim cheftzo, that we have fulfilled the desire of the Rebbeinu Shalom, asher rotzi b'tevos and shalbriyas, that he wants to be mative to us. So this is the yisoid, the ultimate fundamental of all mitzvahs, is this aspect. And that's the very notion of a brocha lies at the heart of us. It's a phenomenal, phenomenal explanation of a brocha. I have never, as I said, I've dealt with this issue before. I've yet to see such a clear and compelling presentation of what a brocha is in this piece. Awesome. Umen ha-sheiresh hazeh she'amarti, Shas Koras Voroch Yaidolafana is a praise of the Rebbeinu Shalom. Ala Brocha Shehein Lo, a recognition that all Brocha stems from the Rebbeinu Shalom. Mishitzorach Lahaydai Selo Bazeh, that we have to acknowledge the Rebbeinu Shalom with Chilas Hashaylo B'Seifa, when we ask of the Rebbeinu Shalom, when we complete asking from the Rebbeinu Shalom. And that's really in the notion of Tefillah. The Rambam's notion of Tefillah. I mean, the Gemara says it, but the Rambam is very fascinating in how he spells it out. The Seder of Tefillah is Lo'olam Yisader Od Meshlochoi. First we give praise to the Rebbeinu Shalom. Acha Kach Mispala, we have the Bakoshes. And at the end we give Haidot to the Rebbeinu Shalom. Those are the three parts. So the Rambam is clear, the Rambam in the first paragraph of Nefas Tefillah, that this is not a rabbinic invention, this is a deraisadic format of Tefillah. Even though with the deraisad there were no fixed brochas, I could be Mispala however I wanted on any given day, all the way up until the Churban Bayis Rishon, there was no fixed text to Tefillah. But there was a format that had to be followed. And that format is derived from Pesukim. We have at the very beginning of Parshas Veschana, there Moshe Rabbeinu talks about the greatness of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Ato Veschana L'Hashem Ba'isa Hileimah. Ato Achilo Yisrael Haraiz Es Abdecho, you've begun to show me as Godlecho, as Yodlecho, Achazoko. Hashem Mikael Mashamayim Ha'oretz Asher Yasech Ha'masecho B'Kigurosecho. The greatness of the Rebbeinu Shalom, a soaring description from Moshe Rabbeinu. What comes next? Ebron of Erez Ha'oretz Atom. It's interesting, in the Kesef Mishnah, the Rambam says, this body knows. Where's the second part that the Rambam takes, that you have to be Messiah Bahido? That you come back and you praise the Rebbeinu Shel Olam at the end, you give Shevach to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam subsequent to the tefillah. He says he doesn't know the source. But the source is a Sifri. And of all places, in Parshas Vizayis HaBrocha. Vizayis HaBrocha is tefillahs of Moshe Rabbeinu. The brochas of Moshe Rabbeinu are tefillahs.
How does the parasha begin? Hashem Yisinai Bo Vazorach V'Sei Elomo Fiyom Ha'aparon V'Osim R'Duv V'Skodesh V'Imino Eish Tos Lomo. Right? First the parasha begins talking of the greatness of the Shekhinah. Then Moshe Rabbeinu starts the brachos. And the brachos go all the way up until the end of the parasha, till near the end of the parasha. Then we start Ma'ino Lokei Kedem. And we talk about again about the greatness of the Rabbeinu Shalom at the end of the parasha. Ashrecha Yisrael Mikamocha, about the greatness of the Rabbeinu Shalom that stands by us. That's the end of the parasha. And the Sefri says that that's where we derive the halacha, that we give praise to the Rabbeinu Shalom at the end, from those psukim. In Vizoy Sabrocha. Sefri. In Parashat Vizoy Sabrocha. And that's the format that he describes for us here. It's the same format. That first we acknowledge the Rabbeinu Shalom, then we ask the Rabbeinu Shalom for what we need, and we end with, again, a further acknowledgement of the Rabbeinu Shalom himself. When Asherish Hazeh Shalmati Shaskorosh Baruch Yehudolofon Avla Brocha Shahin, we should Tzorach Lahayde Shalom B'Zeh B'Tchilas Hashelo B'Seifah. We have to praise the Rabbeinu Shalom at the beginning and at the end. L'Vayiyah Ke'evich and Oto Prasmeh Shavah B'Holof Olay Roshus, as I mentioned before. Yotzu lefidaiti, from this notion comes hachilukim shekobol onor abaseinu zechana l'rocha. We find the varied formats of brachas that we find. The three styles of brachas all stem from this point. The inyan brachas sheyesh mehen peischos b'baruch, there are those that begin with the baruch. The chayis b'zgam came the baruch, and they end with a baruch too. Longer brachas tend to begin and end with a baruch. Kiddush Friday night begins with a baruch, ends with a baruch. The yesh chayis mois v'lo peischis, and there are those that end with a baruch and don't begin with a baruch. The yesh peischis v'lo chayis, and there are those that begin with a baruch and don't end with a baruch. Ketsa kol bracha ba'olam, any bracha in the world sheyesh bo bakoshas dover me'es Hashem. If the purpose of that bracha is to ask the Rabbeinu Shalom for something, or askoras nes, or the mentioning of a nes, v'ino smuchol bracha acheres, and it is not in a format of one bracha after the next, posachas b'baruch v'chosama v'chosemas b'baruch. It opens with a bracha and ends with a bracha. K'don yoytzer or the shachras. We're talking about how the Rabbeinu Shalom runs the world, the Yad Hashem in the world. Umar Varovim the Arvis, Choyotzib and Kamam and Atam and Iskam. So that has a baruch at the beginning and at the end. B'chol brocha, it starts with the baruch. B'chol brocha shesmucha l'chavato, it's chaysemis b'baruch, will only end with the baruch, and will end up with sachas men Atam Azeh. For this same reason, Shari Mikavon, Shahoyde ben Osana, and Amshol Lokel, b'soif ha-brocha smucha l'zeh. Since I just acknowledged the Rav Hashem is the source of everything in the baruch that I ended 2 seconds before, 2 words ago, and there was no interruption with another bakosha of any regard, I ended it. The Rabbeinu Shalom, I acknowledged him as the one that's chaynin ados. The seichel comes from it. I haven't uttered one other word other than that recognition. There's no need. It's inappropriate to repeat it again. Just because we're starting a new bakosha. It should end with a baruch. I've asked the Rabbeinu Shalom now for what I want. So that's already, I'm past the baruch. I went from praise. Chayin ados is not asking. I'm acknowledging the Rabbeinu Shalom gives das. Now I asked the Rabbeinu Shalom to help me do tshuva. So now I've already asked for something. So I come back again. After I ask him something, I should come back and ask the Rabbeinu and acknowledge that the Rabbeinu Shalom is the one that can give it to me. This will explain all the brachas. This will explain all the brachas of smuchas. Now there are some brachas which are in sequence which seem to defy this rule. We have, for example, the sheva brachas, which all start with baruch, which all have a baruch. Most, many, a number of them have a baruch. Right, what do we have in the middle of the Sheva Brachas, for example? I shouldn't say all. Asher Yotzer Esa Odom, he starts with a Baruch. The Baruch Achrita starts with a Baruch. Why is that? So the Rishonim go through because they're not, they don't necessarily have to all arrive at the same time. It's Shaykh that they can be separate
And there's sugyas hashas, they go into it, that the brachos don't not necessarily have to come in that sequence. There are other hechetimtzes. The kiddusha, v'avdalta, v'acheres, for example, when you have kiddush with avdola or avdola, that is also because all we have bar mini with some, because those really can come separately from the format of the havdola itself. For tirtzim lano kula moreno yishmonim kael, the Rishonim already explained this to us. The reason in some cases is sometimes they are recited not b'smichas. There are times when you recite only the brocha achrita, for example. Where Abbasinu l'rotzu l'chalek v'loimar, and they didn't want to make two formats for the same brocha. G'shetobu b'smichas, toimer b'inyin keitz, have this format. V'sholoi b'smichas, and then you'll have a different format. It's interesting in a religion with so wide reaching, a multifaceted religion, but the notion of the Chacham was to do lo pluk, to have as much uniformity as possible. Anything which is given over, which affects daily life, should be as uniform as possible, and intelligence dictates to do this. So this is before, he'll go further into a little bit some other types of brachas, and then I'll go into Birchas HaMazon, which we'll take up with next week. But as an exploration of the notion of a bracha, this is literally the most awesome piece that I've ever seen. Good night, Rabbi Yisrael. We save them for next week.
Maybe
I'll collect them and I'll give them out again. Okay. That's a simple way to do it.